couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, the show that pulls no punches, holds no mayo, and reviews movies.
What? There's mayo on the show?
No, we never hold the mayo. We always have mayo on our sandwich. Because, you know, we're fat. Get it? Get the pun?
What if it's like a peanut butter sandwich? Would you have mayo on a peanut butter sandwich?
No, I mean, I'm just talking about sandwiches that normally come with mayo.
Okay.
Anyway, this week we've got a nice lineup for you. We've got a kind of a range of movies. We have the destruction porn that is 2012.
Wow.
We have...
I haven't heard it called that yet.
No, I've called it that like three times already. We've got... we're going to rock on by with Pirate Radio.
And, on the boat that rocked.
And we're going to see what's going on with Fantastic Mr. Fox. Wes Anderson's new movie. But before we get into that, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysthemovies.com and get all kinds of extra stuff. Not only this show, but now Kevin Carr's movie reviews, his weekly DVD roundup, which is a little bit more in-depth than our general DVD roundup. You can also get now the Fat Guys the Movies Second Reel podcast.
Yes.
Which is the Kevin Carr and various guests from around the film world and even some of our listeners joining in the conversation and talking about stuff. I don't listen to it personally, but that's because I'm an elitist. And I don't even listen to myself. So,
because I say to you, I go, did you listen to the show? Did you hear what I put at the end? You're like, oh, really? That's what you did? I go, yeah. I put Screaming Kittens at the end. I thought it would bring in more people.
So there's that. That's all at fatguysthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies and get all of that stuff as well via the audio stream if you subscribe. I would urge you to review us. In fact, we have a review, don't we? A new review.
We do have a review. It's from a good friend of ours from Sweden, of all
places. Are we really good friends with somebody in Sweden?
Yeah, yeah, he loves us. He is a big supporter.
Nice.
And there's a couple people in Sweden, a bunch of people in Stockholm. I think that the people in Stockholm should get together every week and have a Fat Guys in the Movies listening party because, you know, hey, they're like all together there.
Oh,
I don't
know
how big Stockholm is. It's probably pretty big. I think it is pretty big.
Okay.
But I know of at least two or three people that listen to us.
Cool.
Which is awesome.
Nice.
We're global. But this is what he had to say. For some reason, this isn't showing up on my American feed on iTunes, but he assures me that this is what it was, and he sent me actually a screen capture of his review, and it has, it's part of it's in Swedish, like the stuff around it, but his review is in English, and he says, this is from Darkside Design, at Darkside Design from Twitter, the fat guys always have something funny and interesting to say, no matter what the genre of movie they review, they make the best show, and both Neil and Kevin feel like the guys next door. You just subscribe to Fat Guys at the Movies, their Twitter, Kevin Carr and Rejects, and have yourself a blast. Thank you, guys.
Nice. The guys next door sounds really inappropriate.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that. But
we're
just
a couple of dudes.
we're just dudes who watch movies.
Sitting around in our underwear.
That's right. The guys next door
sexy.
That you're not too surprised when the police show up in the middle of the night.
I guess. Anyway, so that's all on iTunes. You can also email us, fatguysfilmschoolrejects.com. We love those emails. And you can leave us a voicemail, area code 614-388-8735. Apparently this is working because we got one this week, which we're going to play for you later.
Yes.
From our friend Thomas in Seattle.
Yeah.
And so with that, I'd say, we're on Twitter as well. Twitter.com/rejects is where you can find my general musings about the world of film. And Twitter.com/Kevin Carr with two R's is where you can find Kevin's random live tweets of movies that are sure to offend. Also, you can get us Facebook. Fat Guys the Movies has a Facebook page. You should go there.
Yes, absolutely.
It's fun.
So let's move on to the review. We're spending so much time talking about ourselves because, you know, the internet is just nothing but a narcissistic pool of vomit. But let's move on to the next movie, or the first movie, rather.
Okay.
This is 2012. Roland Emmerich blows up the world again and again and again.
This mass suicide adhered to the Mayan calendar, which predicts the end of time to occur on the 21st of December of this year. This year.
What are the odds?
Oh,
time.
Take first crack. I want to know what you thought of this.
Well, I called it destruction porn earlier, and that's essentially what it is. Like, I really do feel that Roland Emmerich sits around and thinks very fondly of iconic buildings and places you would recognize blowing up. Yeah. For instance, he really has this thing about like destroying the White House. He does it again. He did it in Independence Day.
He does it again here.
And I was watching Godzilla.
That's a spoiler.
What? The White House thing?
The White House gets blown up.
The whole world gets blown up in this movie. Spoiler alert, the world ends.
You know, but no, here's
like, that's the
thing
whole with... point of the movie. I'm sorry, that is not a spoiler. Stuff gets blown up in this movie, and like Yellowstone National Park becomes like this humongous volcano.
Well, it is a volcano.
And
just
California
hasn't blown up
falls
in
into the ocean. Now,
which is physically impossible by the way that this fault line is in the San Andreas Fault. By the way, that's right. Just me venting about the science behind this movie.
Yeah. So I mean, I wouldn't try and test the science behind this movie because I'm sure it wouldn't hold up very well.
Yeah, you cannot outrun an earthquake in a Winnebago or a limousine. That's just the way the world is.
I essentially found two problems with 2012.
Okay.
And aside from these two problems, I had a lot of fun with this movie.
Yes.
The two problems are, one,
the black president, because that's never going to happen.
the ridiculous narrow escapism of the main characters, who escape everything barely. Everyone who survives, all three people that survive at the end. Just spoiler alert.
And the fourth kind isn't real either.
They narrowly escape everything. And they almost die about 100 times. And that's kind of annoying. I mean, it's coincidental and it's kind of annoying at the end.
Did it bother you that, like, the destruction always happened at landmarks in major cities?
Yeah, exactly. And and then the schmaltziness. There's a certain schmaltziness to the fact that every character, whether they survive or not, has to have a teary phone call with their loved one who's been left behind.
I've been fond of telling people, I say, whenever somebody's on the telephone, that's when you go get more popcorn, because you're going to have like a good 5-minute scene of them weeping and talking to each other.
But all that aside, it is, if you like to see stuff blow up, this is a lot of fun. I thought it's a big, gaudy destruction movie, and you know, it felt a lot like a big summer blockbuster. And I think for people that really get into this, which is a lot of people, totally works.
Well, what I said to my friend I went with, I took him to the screening, and I said to him, I go, this is sort of like a mix between weepy melodrama and crap your pants awesome action scenes.
Exactly.
It runs a little long. It's like 2 hours and 38 minutes, which is way too long. It needs to be trimmed down. But, I mean, the destruction scenes are awesome, and that's the reason to see the movie. Mm-hmm. But the characters, you're right. They're kind of vapid. You really don't care about them. They throw a couple kids in there just so that you have some sort of genetic reason to hope they survive.
Mm-hmm.
But it is utterly ridiculous. But like I said, I can't say I didn't love it. I just loved watching it. I'm sort of like the way you were with Transformers, where I was like, I'll forgive a lot just because it looked really cool.
Right. Fair enough.
So I'm gonna say it rocked.
Yes. I'm gonna say it kind of rocks.
Okay.
That's
You're allowed to do that.
That's just my where I'm at right now. And
cool.
We'll be back. And we are back here on Fat Guys at the Movies. And now that we have destroyed the world with 2012... it is time to move on to a movie that I have seen, but I do not believe Kevin has seen.
No, I'm boycotting it because they're not showing me a screening.
Oh, fair enough. It is called Pirate Radio, formerly known as The Boat That Rocked.
Arrgh.
And it is about a band of pirates who take over radio on the high seas and pillage the British sensibilities.
It stars Johnny Depp as a pirate radio guy.
That's actually not true. It's...
It was loud, it was rebellious, and in 1966, the British government banned rock and roll on the radio. Until one American DJ...
He's
possibly the most famous broadcaster ever.
And a band of renegades.
You must be the Count.
I am he.
Take me to the microphone.
Launched a radio station on the high seas.
We should have set sail years ago.
And raided the airwaves.
Let's have a tune. I'm sick of this silence.
It's about, it's set in the 1960s. It is about a big boat. And a radio station, a pirate radio station called Radio Rock. Because back in the 60s, they did not like rock music.
Did they have
They did not play rock patches? Music on their regular radio stations in Great Britain or the United Kingdom, whatever they like to be called. And now this one, personally, I've seen this twice now. I saw it once as the British version, The Boat That Rocked.
Well, did it have subtitles?
No. And then once is Pirate Radio. And I'm told that there's 20 minutes cut out of it from the original version, and I didn't see it. Either way, this is a great movie. A movie that I thoroughly enjoyed because it's got a fantastic soundtrack. And really, it's got probably one of the best ensemble casts that's been assembled. It's got Philip Seymour Hoffman as the lone American DJ, The Count. And he is very, very funny in it. It's got Bill Nighy. Bill Nighy plays this guy, Quentin, who is essentially the owner of the boat slash radio station. It's also got guys like Rhys Darby from Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
It's got Nick Frost from Shaun of the Dead fame. It's got Rhys Ifans, the guy who was the kicker in The Replacements. That's right. Brought up Replacements.
He was also in Little Nicky.
He was also in Little Nicky, but he's very, very funny. Okay. And it's just, it's overall a hysterical. I think it's also got the guy, hold on.
You know what is
I'm
rated?
I'm looking this up now.
It is rated is R. It rated?
Wow. It has, hold please.
Wow, I'm bored already. Because you're just like reading the IMDb. You're like, it has this guy in it. Isn't it awesome? The cinematographer.
It's got a really fun performance from Ralph Brown, who you may not know.
Sound was mixed by so and so.
Shut up. It's got this really great performance from Ralph Brown, who you may know as Del Preston from Wayne's World 2.
I thought he was the dead guy from the Clinton administration. Oh no, that was Ron Brown.
Oh wow. Anyway,
for everybody in their 40s who remember that.
Jeez. But anyway, so the movie, I mean, really what I liked about it is it has a great energy to it. Also, Kenneth Branagh plays this minister of, I don't know what his job is in the prime minister's office, but he's the government guy who is hell-bent on getting pirate radio shut down.
He's the minister in the Ministry of Wet Blankets.
And he has an assistant whose name I don't even know I can mention on the radio.
Oh, God. Am I gonna have
it starts with a T, and rhymes with what?
Wow.
That's less
of a dirty word in Britain, actually.
Yeah, no, I guess
I don't think we can say that on the radio.
But I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's very similar to Twitter.
The film has it has a great energy to it. It's got a great soundtrack. It's got a very nice, a very fun story to it.
Who's the best boy electric kind of on this movie?
The what?
The best boy electric. That's the defining moment.
Just get out of here with your, with you. It's a really fun movie, and I think if you're a fan of music, if you're a fan of good period, it's a Richard Curtis film. He directed Love Actually, it's kind of has that same vibe to it. There's kind of a central love story to it.
Four weddings and a funeral too, man.
You're right, and so you know it's just a fun movie.
Okay.
Very simply, I say it rocks.
Okay.
I mean,
is it the boat that rocks, or is it the pirate?
It is the boat that rocks. Okay. But it's called Pirate Radio, and you should go see it, especially if you like music
and pirates
and funny British people.
Bring your kids because it's all about pirates.
It's not. It really doesn't have anything to do with pirates.
Is Eric Cartman on this boat?
No.
As a pirate? Are there any Somalis on this boat?
I don't think so.
Well, then it's not a real pirate movie.
Wow.
Should we move on?
Yes.
Have let's I move sufficiently on to, annoyed you?
We're moving on to the next film, the final film of the show, and then we're just not going to be on anymore. No, we have like three more segments to go. It is Fantastic Mr. Fox, in which Wes Anderson gives Roald Dahl's classic novel the stop-motion treatment with Foxy George Clooney as the title character.
Who am I, Kylie? Why a fox? Why not a horse or a beetle or a bald eagle? I'm saying this more as, like, existentialism, you know?
I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds illegal.
Honey, I'm 7 non-fox years old now. My father died at 7 and a half. I don't want to live in a hole anymore. and I'm going to do something about it.
Don't buy this tree, Foxy. This is Bogus, Bunce, and Bean, three of the meanest, nastiest, ugliest farmers in this valley. You're moving into the most dangerous neighborhood for someone of your type of species.
Your comments are valuable, but I'm going to ignore your advice.
I'm going to let you have first crack at this one. This, based on your obvious love for George Clooney.
I'm just saying he plays a foxy character in this movie.
He plays a fox.
Well, yeah, that would be very foxy. I mean, duh, it goes without saying. Anyways, I love Wes Anderson's stuff. Ironically, the earlier pieces like Rushmore and Bottle Rocket, they're good, but they're not my favorites. I'm like sort of Royal Tenenbaums. I liked Life Aquatic, and I really loved Darjeeling Limited. Mm-hmm. And this is his take on the Roald Dahl classic, and he makes it stop motion, which was an interesting choice.
I felt made it feel kind of storybooky.
It really, really worked for what it was as sort of this Roald Dahl children's book, but it also had that, doing the stop motion gave it that quirkiness, that Wes Anderson quirkiness, more so than even just the dialogue and the things that are happening. It just kind of gave it that look, that unique flavor. And here's the thing with the book. My dad actually read the book to me when I was a little kid, and I loved it. And I read it again like when I was in grade school, but I haven't read it in, what, like 30 years or something like that. So I'm watching the movie, and it's like coming back to me as I'm watching. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this piece, and I remember these characters. And it suddenly just kind of had this wash of emotion. So it was it really touched my sort of childhood memories in this.
Oh, it touched your heart.
Isn't it sweet?
Did it touch you inappropriately?
No. that was you.
No.
Yeah, right. That was you. Right. You snuck into the theater. All right, I need to go talk to my therapist now. But no, anyways, I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I love Wes Anderson's sort of style and his humor, and I thought it clicked perfect. It's the perfect blend of Wes Anderson and Roald Dahl. It's silly, it's quirky, it's whimsical. It has some pretty dark elements to it. I mean, because it's about these farmers that are trying to kill all these animals that are stealing their food. But it's as close as you're going to get to like a Wallace and Gromit sort of thing without it being Wallace and Gromit. It really had that weird feel to it, and I loved it. And I'm actually going to go try and see it again because my kids want to see it, and I couldn't take them to the press screening, so I'm going to try and get them into the later public screening, which I should be able to because the publicist for Fox Searchlight loves me.
Oh, nice. Well, that's always good.
Well, I mean, in a platonic, she's married. As am I.
But what was I going to say about this now? There's something. You've kind of said it all. But
did I suck the wind out of your review?
I think there might be a concern out there that it's going to be too Wes Anderson-y, you know?
But I don't see, that's why I don't think it is, because the stop motion gives it that feel.
I think it's his most restrained film. Like, it's not as quirky as some of his other work, and it's not as oddball as some of his other work. And I think that the voice cast was another bothersome thing when I first saw the trailer. And also, there were a couple of things when I first saw footage from this movie. The animation looked very choppy.
Yeah, well, because they got fur. That's the problem, is the fur.
Right, the fur really kind of throws you off. And the voice cast didn't really feel authentic. And after you get through about 3 or 4 minutes of the movie, you really just get sucked into it, and all of those concerns seem to go away.
Yeah, it does
call
take
it
like
movie magic, call it whatever you want, but it takes a few minutes for the movie to kind of set in and for you to kind of get into the world.
I hate to say this, but I agree with you totally on that.
And it really, after that, it really works. It's energetic, it's fun, and it's ultimately just kind of thoroughly enjoyable movie. And I think it'll work for kids. It's also smart enough, and Jason Schwartzman, I think, kind of steals it as Mr. Fox's son, Ash.
Master Fox.
And some of his delivery is just fantastic.
I think. Oh, nice. So. Nice. You did. You had to go there, didn't you? Fantastic.
I did. Also, Meryl Streep voicing the wife.
She was okay. I mean, good pull. It was good. But I'll tell you, this is the thing with the movie. We're so used to seeing these really slick looking CGI movies, and this year they just did a story about all the animated films that are going out for Oscar, but you have stuff like Coraline and Fantastic Mr. Fox, and they're going to hand-drawn animation with Ponyo and Princess and the Frog. I think it's great to see stuff that's not strictly
the
CGI.
Craft of it.
Yeah.
The craft of filmmaking.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, I say totally rocks.
Totally rocks for me.
Nice. And when we come back, we'll talk about other stuff.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. After you heard us gush over Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Which came as a surprise. I thought at least one of us would dislike that movie.
Are you going to write in your review, Mr. Fox is fantastic?
No, but did you see the Clash of the Titans trailer this week?
I like that, actually.
Where it said, Titans will clash. My review for that is going to be, Will, Titans have clashed. And that's all.
Wow.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
What do you got, Kevin Carr?
We have box office. Let's talk box office here.
Okay.
I was wrong. I will come out and say this. People always accuse me of not saying when I'm wrong. I was wrong. I thought that Christmas Carol was going to do way better this weekend. Mm. And I thought that Michael Jackson, the movie, was going to do a lot worse. So they kind of both centered.
Well, I mean, Christmas Carol still made $30 million, finished number one.
And the reason I think that didn't do as well is because it was a bit too early.
Yeah, I have a feeling it'll have a little bit better staying power. I have a feeling it'll do well down the stretch.
Oh, I think like, it'll just do mediocre.
But it'll stay in the top 10 for a lot longer.
Yeah, it'll be in the top 10 until it was a catch 22. Disney could have released it later and had a bigger opening weekend, but its longevity would have been shorter.
Yeah.
Or they could have opened it when they did, and I think it's just going to play throughout the season. Partly because if you look at the release schedule, there's really not, until Princess and the Frog, I'm not even going to count Fantastic Mr. Fox, until Princess and the Frog, there's, in the Alvin and the Chipmunks movie, which is releasing 2 days before Christmas, there's really not the big, massive family movie.
Right. It's just not there at all.
Yeah. And I think that's going to bode well. I think you're going to see Christmas Carol just have a steady burn throughout the season, and it's going to come out making a lot of money. It's just it's going to be one that didn't make it all its first weekend.
Right. Fair enough. Anyways, rounding out the rest of the releases and how well they did. Michael Jackson's This Is It finished second, $13 million. The Men Who Stare at Ghosts finished third, beating out The Fourth Kind, which finished fourth. The Box from Richard Kelly tanked pretty much, only making $7.5 million, finishing number six. And notable is Precious, which finished 12th, but it was only in 18 theaters, a very limited release, and it made $104,000 per theater.
Wow!
It made $1.8 million in only 18 theaters. That's a huge number.
It was a big fat return, like the woman in it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, was that wrong? Did I go there?
Yeah, maybe.
But no, but that's the marketing of the movie. They're like, look at the fat black girl who's getting abused at home. That's like the marketing of the movie. That's like when you read the synopsis. It says, Precious, based on a novel pushed by Sapphire, about a big flat fat black girl who gets abused. That's the synopsis.
I really
just
can't deal with you. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't. I'm going
to
see it next
week. I can't
wait.
Okay. I can't wait till you see it. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this.
does Sandra Bullock come into the movie and take her under her wing?
Oh,
at
my
any
God.
Point?
I don't even want to talk to you about that movie until next week. Anyway.
Yeah. That's the thing. I wasn't terribly. Like I said, I wasn't surprised at the ranking of stuff. I was surprised that A Christmas Carol didn't do as well. I was surprised that Michael Jackson's This Is It did held on better than I thought. So I got to give them credit for that. I mean, it held on in more competition, which it's still not the $250 million movie they were predicting in the first place.
Right, and I think The Box deserved to not make a lot of money at all.
See, I like The Box. And
whatever, get out of here with that.
Well, but first of all, it'll make its budget back when everything's all said and done. So it's not going to be something where the
I don't know, man. I think what was its budget? It was budgeted
like 30.
It's like a $30 million movie. It only made $7 million in its opening weekend. I don't think it's going to make all that. I mean, $30 million is just the cost of the film. That doesn't even count.
Well, yeah, but I think it's like a Kevin Smith movie. The Kevin Smith movies never do super well. They make about $30 million, and it keeps his bread buttered. So. I don't think it's not an unmitigated disaster that Southland Tales was. I mean, Southland Tales made, what, $17?
Yeah, something like that.
Right? Yeah, nobody liked that one.
Hold on.
But there is a big discussion. I noticed there are some people, the box is very polarizing. And I even saw it. I remember watching it, and I said, I really enjoyed this movie, but it's not going to be for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to, and it's not going to do well. But I really enjoyed it. What I enjoyed the most about it, beyond the whole sort of Twilight Zone story, because it was written by, the story was written by Richard Masson, who wrote like most of the Twilight Zone stuff. But I like the fact that it really kind of captured the filmmaking essence of the 70s. If you went in blind, you could, until you got to the digital effects, you could almost believe this thing was shot in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of technique and style.
Yeah,
and sort of,
I mean,
like, just
and
camera
it had
work,
the worst focus puller in the history of cinema.
But that's the way stuff looked in the 70s. That's, I really honestly
it
think
was all
they
out
were
of
doing
focus?
Stuff. No, they were using, they used a soft lens on it. Go watch Carrie. Go see the movie Carrie. It's shot the exact same way, and that was made in 1976.
I suppose.
So there you go.
Anyway, this weekend, the big releases. Christmas Carol is still the biggest release, but you have 2012 opening, and then Pirate Radio is your limited release. Fantastic Mr. Fox is only in 4 theaters, so...
Yes, it's not going to do... It's not going to show up in the top 10 because
it's
such a small release.
Yeah, it won't do
release.
Well, but it's got a... It's rolling out. I think it's wide releases the weekend of Thanksgiving, right?
I predict, though... Yeah, weekend of Thanksgiving. But I predict that Astro Boy is going to come from behind and take the top spot this week.
You're a strange man. Anyway, I think 2012 is going to win, and I think it's going to be very close, though, with Christmas Carol. Christmas Carol, I think, is going to hold on pretty well. I don't think 2012 is going to do any kind of gigantic business.
Oh, I think it's going to be huge.
I don't think it's going to be huge. But 40 million. I mean, 40 million. Would you say 40 million is huge?
I'd say 40 million is good. I say 40 to 50. And the reason for that is because it is that big blockbuster movie, and it is the only thing in huge release.
And also, it is kind of all over the place, the marketing-wise. The marketing's been very strong, so...
Well, and the test screening I saw it with, they loved it. They freaking loved it. Mm-hmm. There are people who clapped at the end.
Wow.
At certain things that which I'm like, wow, I haven't
people
seen
people really want the world to end, don't they?
Mm, yeah, maybe.
It's interesting.
Or maybe they just love John Cusack.
Hmm.
So, but no, I mean, it was a... I think it's going to do really, really well. I think it's all set up. It's kind of like... I think the planet, no pun intended, but the planets are aligned for this movie to do well.
Yeah.
If it was Christmas Carol versus 2012, I think that it would have a softer opening.
Right.
So, I think it's going to do really well.
All right, moving on. We have, were we doing news next? We already kind of did this news, didn't we?
We talked a little bit about it.
Yeah. Would you like to talk about it some more? Would you like to tell people more about your second
reel? But we do have, well, it's just another, it's an additional podcast where we're going to be bringing new guests and stuff in. But let's actually talk about the other piece of news. Let's play our voicemail.
Sure.
We got this this week, and here it is.
I wanted to say hi to Kevin and Neil. This is Thomas from Seattle. I have kind of an off-topic question. I'm not sure if y'all really talked about this, but I was wondering which actors would you like to see make a comeback? You know, actors that you've liked maybe since you were, you know, kids and still out there and not doing as well. My example is Harrison Ford. You know, he was my hero growing up, you know, for Han Solo and Indiana Jones and Rick Deckard. And, you know, the last 10 years or so has been blah for me. And it's like, I'd really like to see him make some good movies again and have people talking about him and some good movies instead of, like, the mediocre stuff he's been doing the last decade or so, I would say. Okay, well, I was just wondering about that. Again, Thomas from Seattle, and keep up the good work, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
So, Neil.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want to see come back as an actor?
This is an easy one. It is Steve Guttenberg.
Oh, you're just saying that so you can talk about the news about the three men and a teenage whore.
Three men and a bride. No,
I think it was three men and a pregnant teenage whore.
I was very inspired by the news that Steve Guttenberg would like to bring back all of the 80s, not only the Three Men and a Baby series.
Is he going to do like Cocoon?
But
he
was talking about why not bring back movies like Cocoon and Police Academy. I don't see anything wrong with remaking all of these films. Or
can I ask a question?
Other sequels.
Can you really bring back a movie series that'd be like asking to bring back Leprechaun? Weren't there like 80 Police Academy movies? They made more Police Academy movies than Bollywood made last year.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with that, though. Mm-hmm. I say make another one. I'm also petitioning to get Guttenberg into
the
short circuit remake/sequel that is coming up.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
I think Steve he just wants a career. Right. Well, my pick is Jim.
I don't know if that answers Tom's question.
Yeah. For Tom, I will say I want to see Jim Varney make a comeback.
Nice.
I know he's dead, but he's a good enough actor. He could do it.
Ernest Scared Stupider.
Ernest Comes Back from the Dead. That would be an awesome movie. They could get Terry Gilliam to direct and use archival footage and make a digital Jim Varney. And they can have the guy from Boy Meets or from Home Improvement and Boy Meets World do the voice, because he's doing the voice for him and Slinky Dog.
Mm-hmm. There's really something wrong with you. You know that, right?
I'd like to see Sam Neill make a comeback. Actually.
Sam Neill would be a good one. I mean, Sam Neill seems to want to try to make a comeback. Like, he's in Daybreakers, which comes out in January. Mm-hmm. I don't know. If he ends up doing like Jurassic Park 4, I'm gonna be really disappointed in Sam Neill.
I would watch any Jurassic Park movie. It could be a Jurassic Park on a plane, and I'd watch
Jurassic Park dinosaurs on a plane.
Yes,
nice. Sam Jackson's on a plane. Anyway, all right. Well, there you go, Tom.
Dinosaurs, these motherfucking dinosaurs on this motherfucking plane.
Sorry, our answers sucked. But
let's go to the Fat Guy Five questions.
Moving on, Fat Guy Five time. We're counting down the Roland Emmerich's greatest movies,
which is pretty much all of his movies, because he's made like seven.
No, he's done. I think this is his like ninth movie.
Uh-huh. So you don't think Dean Devlin is the key to his ingredients? Because he's no longer with it. They're not together anymore.
Yeah, they're not dating anymore, I guess.
Well, I didn't say dating. I said they're not together. They're partners, you know what? But they're production partners.
I would say 2012 gets very close to this list. We're not putting it on because it's brand new and no one else has seen it. So, I mean,
and we were already fighting about it.
We're already fighting about it. But also, I think it's better than the movie that you're going to mention in the honorable mention.
Beat you in the face.
But we're going to start with The Patriot.
Or in French, The Patois.
Starring Mel Gibson. This is, you know, for as Revolutionary War action movies go, this is probably one of the more intense visually. So I think they did a good job of capturing Mel Gibson in Braveheart mode, post-Braveheart.
There's nothing like taking a classic story about the American Revolution, having it directed by a German, starring an Australian and a guy from New Zealand.
Well, I mean, I guess.
Sure.
If you want to make it about borders. But
Joker was in it.
I feel like cinema has no borders.
The Joker was in it.
But I like The Patriot, so.
The Patois.
Anyway.
It was okay. It was a little grim.
Next one's yours.
No. The next one's yours, dude.
Oh, Universal Soldier. Yeah. Who wouldn't want to talk about Universal Soldier?
Because you love The Muscles from Brussels.
Well, of course I do. I mean, also, I love...
who doesn't and who hasn't?
I don't really know. Do you know they're making another one of these? I don't know.
Is it like Leprechaun?
They're bringing back Universal Soldier. But Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren, that's all you need to know.
Yes. Now I'm going to throw it on my choice, Godzilla.
Godzilla.
It is much maligned, but I love the movie. Like 2012, when anyone's on the phone, if Matthew Broderick's on screen, you can forget about it.
Yeah. But you know what I remembered? I watched Godzilla the other night, and I remembered something very important about Roland Emmerich movies. Mm-hmm. Do we have time for this? I think we do.
Yeah, we can do it.
But one thing that I remembered about Roland Emmerich movies, and I did not realize this until I watched Godzilla again.
They don't have any boobs in them.
No, well, they don't have any boobs in them, unfortunately. But also, all of his movies are like seven movies in one.
Yeah.
Because in Godzilla, you have like, we're going to get Godzilla coming to America, then we're going to try and kill Godzilla.
Is that like the remake of the Eddie Murphy movie?
We're going to feed Godzilla, then we're going to kill Godzilla. Then there's like the whole like Jurassic Park style Godzilla babies scene. And then we blow up Madison Square Garden. Spoiler alert. But it's like, it felt like five movies in one, and all of his movies are like that. Godzilla, though, was the first one. I saw Godzilla three times on the big screen and bought the soundtrack.
I love Godzilla. I enjoyed watching it when it came out, and I was like in my 20s, so
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't see anything wrong either.
Yeah, and you're right. They don't have any boobs, but he's German, so of course they've got women pooping on each other in the movie. Go figure.
That was kind
of
odd.
A little bit note on Godzilla. If anyone's out there on Twitter, you can. There's a bunch of us on Twitter who are going to be live tweeting Godzilla this Saturday.
I will not be, but Kevin will be.
I will be there. I will be there along with various other folks people. in the Twitter
I will actually be staying away from Twitter. Whatever. So that I don't get Godzilla spoiled for me, even though I've seen it like 8 times.
Even though you've seen it. Oh my gosh, they're blowing up Madison Square Garden.
Anyway, do you want to take the
with
next
Tom
one?
With Tom Scavo from Desperate Housewives.
Oh, wow. Do you
want to take the you next can do the next. You do the next one. I want to do the top.
All right, fair enough. The next one's Stargate, which also just came out on Blu-ray not too long ago, starring Kurt Russell and James Spader. James Spader unlocks the key to this Egyptian ruin that allows him to travel to another planet and meet the totally
Abydos.
The totally not homosexual god of the sun, Ra. and it's kind of fun like that.
Considering
French,
he's not an alien that slips into a young Egyptian
and this army unit who's led by French Stewart at one point can't take out these huge dog faced dudes.
Wow, you really made this movie sound bizarre.
That's what that's what they get for putting French Stewart in charge.
I enjoyed Stargate. I liked it when it came
Stargate's
out.
I would lobby for Stargate to be a top. If this next movie didn't exist, Stargate would easily be his best movie.
Well, you know, and the only thing for me is that I watched all the Stargate TV shows.
Yeah.
So, you know, Kurt Russell's good. He's no Richard Dean Anderson. Very different characters. But James Spader is such a twat.
Just in case you Michael were wondering Shanks, what that word was from before.
Yeah, we can say it in the middle segment, but I much prefer Michael Shanks as Daniel Jackson in the TV show. So that's just me.
Fair enough.
And there were no boobs in Stargate. Although, if you watch the trailer of the sort of the unofficial sequel that started the TV show, there are boobs in that movie.
Oh, nice.
So go boobs.
It's kind of like Battlestar Galactica: The Plan.
Yeah,
trying
there's
to
boobs
squeeze
all over
in
that
all
place.
The nudity that they missed in the show.
I mean, it's like, I mean, Edward James almost has boobs in this movie, right, too. I mean, it's amazing.
Anyway, so, what's number one? Number one is my favorite as well.
Very patriotic movie, Independence Day, which brings up a point, and I guess this is a spoiler for Independence Day, but if you haven't seen it yet,
really?
Good God, you've
seriously
had like 13 years. He always has dead president. The president always has a dead wife.
Yeah,
they either
I
die
that
in the movie or they've been dead. You know, right. Have you ever noticed that? So, like in 2012, Michelle Obama's dead in this movie.
President Laura Rosalynn dies in Independence.
That's right.
Anyway,
wow. So yeah, Independence Day is a lot of fun.
Easily,
it's his best movie because it's all about destruction and aliens. And Randy Quaid's dealing with being anally raped by aliens. So
right, and Jeff Goldblum makes that whole movie. So.
Yes. What more could you want?
Moving on.
Boobs. That's what we want. All right. Sweet. So we got to go. We're way over on this segment.
Yeah. What was your honorable mention?
Oh yeah, honorable mention: The Day After Tomorrow, which is sort of like the precursor to 2012. The big difference is in The Day After Tomorrow, it blames the people for global warming. In 2012, it's like, hey, don't recycle, don't get a hybrid car because the whole world's going to blow up in 2 years anyways, and you have nothing to do about it.
Okay,
we're going to end the segment there.
And with that, it's time to go. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. That's pretty much all I have to say about that.
I'm just letting you hang there with your sexy voice.
We've rolled through reviews of 2012 Pirate Radio and Fantastic Mr. Fox. We've given you our favorite Roland Emmerich movies, 5-1. We've announced that Kevin is doing a secondary podcast known as Fat Guys, the Second Reel. And we've talked about various words you can't say on the radio.
Yes.
But that's all in segment three.
Yes, go
moving
and listen,
on
or don't.
To our final segment and our world-famous...
World-famous!
Segment known as the DVD Roundup. And we'll start with me, because that's
that
how
is
I
how
roll.
We roll.
I've got a ton of them today.
I know you're week, like me this now. Week. This is a great I've week got, for DVDs though. This is.
It is it's a for me it was a great week at Blu-ray because you have Up, which is one of the must-own Blu-rays of the year, hands down.
It's like got four discs in it.
Four
as does
discs.
Your next.
It's got the regular DVD, especially if you're not onto Blu-ray yet. This is one that you should buy on Blu-ray because it has the Blu-ray, it has a behind-the-scenes disc on Blu-ray, it has the DVD. and it has a digital copy, which you can download to iTunes, stuff like that.
Disney's
and
been
it's
doing
got tons
that.
Of special features. Disney is great.
They do that with all their Blu-rays, especially, well, I mean, like the Touchstone movies and the Miramax movies, they don't necessarily, but...
But all the animated and all the Pixar.
Yeah, and you know what? Other studios are starting to do that as well. Fox did that with Ice Age 3, and right. where they'll double combo pack, which is a brilliant idea because there's a lot of people who haven't gotten the Blu-ray player but might get one for Christmas, you know?
Right. So Up, and then likewise Monsters, Inc., which is also directed by Pete Docter, who did Up.
Yes.
Both must own. They look beautiful on Blu-ray. Then you also have on Blu-ray Heat and Godzilla.
You have Godzilla and Heat.
Yeah. Heat, which looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Also The Negotiator. It's kind of like a three-pack from action movies. Heat and The Negotiator look fantastic. Godzilla looks pretty good. It's kind of a disappointing Blu-ray release because it doesn't have a lot of extra special features, but it reminded me of how much fun that movie actually is.
Oh, absolutely.
And then, of course, we have to throw a little line out to Inc., mm-hmm. which was publicized this week, if you read Film School Rejects.
I don't.
No, I don't either. Yeah. But I've heard that it was pirated this week.
It
became one of the top torrented movies online, mm-hmm. and kind of catapulted it into people actually seeing it. And if you downloaded it illegally, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, go buy it. It's a very, very good movie. It's a 100% independent production out of Colorado. No studios attached to it. The folks behind it put all their own money into it. They're self-distributing it. You can get it on Netflix. You can get it on Amazon. You can go to DoubleEdgeFilms.com and buy it. I would highly suggest it. Our Dr. Colobias, when he reviewed it, loved it. And
spoiler alert, the alien abduction scenes in that movie are not real.
Oh, God, what are your picks?
Well, first, I'm going to go with some of you. I would say Up and Monsters, Inc., absolutely, totally. Those are ones that I would mention. But I also have to say Watchmen, the Ultimate Cut. Kind of got that at the last minute. And I'll tell you, if you love the Watchmen and you love the graphic novel, this is where you can get it. You can get it on Blu-ray for like $2 more than DVD. So it's worth totally checking out. It's a 3.5-hour version of the movie. Mm-hmm. And they integrate not only the director's cut, but they integrate Tales of the Black Freighter, which, if you recall from the from the graphic novel, was in there, and it really works and it really flows great. It's the full graphic novel realized. You also have the full motion comic and special features and all that kind of, and digital copy. So
this is the edition I think everybody's been waiting for.
Yeah, this was the Monster Box set, and it's really it's not bad. You can get it for like $20-some on Amazon, so it's not a bad. It's not out of your price range at all, really, seriously. If this is one to check and get, cool. You're a comic book fans for Christmas. A couple little ones, Gabriel Iglesias, I'm Not Fat, I'm Fluffy. I've been doing a bunch of these Comedy Central things. And it's funny
Is this a biography of Kevin Carr?
Well, no, but I completely relate to the fluffy Gabriel Iglesias, who's like twice the man, literally, than Enrique Iglesias. There's also Justice League Unlimited, the complete series, a great box set from Warner Brothers, and it's like 14 discs of the Justice League television show, which is actually really cool because they've really made these TV shows, these animated cartoons that are on like the after school block for kids. They're really, really slick and well done versions of the comic book. And this one even has, you know, it has like Green Lantern making, you know, almost sexual comments to Supergirl, which is creepy, but really kind of awesome. And then one final one is
fair enough.
The Asylum has released, not this week, but it's out there. It's 2012 Supernova starring Brian Krause from Charmed fame. I live tweeted this. It's an Asylum movie, so it's ripping off 2012, but why not? You get to see destruction.
Why not
Earth.
From the makers of Snakes on a Train?
Exactly.
So anyway, our stinker this week is Spread. This is a Sundance movie starring Ashton Kutcher.
Will have sex for food.
He will have sex for food. Yeah. It's just stay away from it if you can. Time to wrap up our reviews. We had 2012, which we both saw. I said kind of rocks.
I said rocks.
We had Pirate Radio, which I only saw, but I said totally rocks.
Mm-hmm. Arg.
And then Fantastic Mr. Fox, which I said totally rocks, and Kevin said...
We both agree. We pretty much both agree on that movie. It's one of those weird times where we agree about all the parts of the movie.
So, looks like it's a good week to go to the movies. Next week, also
a good week to go to the movies, I guess, in which Twilight New Moon hits.
Team Jacob!
And then we also have The Blind Side and Planet 51, all of which we'll be reviewing on the show next week. So, make sure you join us. Head over to fatguysandmovies.com. You can get all the rest of the information. And until the, and you know, with that, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Yes, that was awesome.